This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Hey, you know what? Today we are interrupting the study of the book of Joshua because we want to talk about something that I and the pastoral staff and really our larger ministry staff has been talking about for really about a year. And it's something called the Growth Project. I'm going to be talking about spiritual growth this morning. So I want us to pray, ask the Lord to help us, and we're gonna see what the Word of God says about that. Let's pray together. Father, I just commit this to you. Commit your word, Lord, that it would have an impact in our lives. Would you teach us, Father, what you want us to know today? Would you encourage hearts? And would you move us forward in the growth project, growth process, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to see a scripture that is one of the most simple things you'll ever read. Here it is. It's 2 Peter, and it says this, 1 Peter. It says, like newborn babies, grow in respect to salvation. What this is saying is pretty clear. Do not remain a spiritual baby all your life. Grow up as a Christian. And in fact, Ephesians 4 says the exact same thing. We must grow up in every way to Christ, who is the head. So never say, oh man, I'm good enough. I'm done with spiritual growth. No, grow up in every way to be like Jesus. So this is pretty clear here. These mandates and many, many others are saying, come on, you need to grow up as a believer. You need to become mature as a believer. Now, I got to let you know, as a Christian myself, so many years ago, when I first became a Christian, I knew I was supposed to grow, but I frankly was a little bit confused as to how that was going to happen. I felt overwhelmed with all the stuff that needed to change in my life. Have you ever been there? You look at your life and go, man, I just don't know where to start. I don't know what's going on. And it reminds me a little bit about what happens at our house on holidays. So it's Christmas or it's Thanksgiving, and my wife Naomi brings out a big 1,000-piece puzzle, and she dumps it on the table, and she invites any of our daughters or son and daughter-in-laws to come and help her put together the puzzle. And what I will do is I will go to the table where they're working, and I will pick up a puzzle piece, and I'll look at it, and I'll look around. And then I will put the puzzle piece back down and walk away. Because this puzzle seemed just absolutely so complicated to me. It seemed so overwhelming. I can't do it. But of course, they work for a few hours during the afternoon. And piece by piece, they get this thing put together. Well, that's a picture sometimes of our spiritual lives. Our spiritual life kind of feels like that puzzle. It's just like, man, we say, man, I have so many areas. I don't know what to do. It feels so overwhelming. And then what happens, sometimes it just freezes us. So instead of doing something, we do nothing with our growth. And that's the reason that we're going to be talking about this today, because spiritual growth can be a little confusing. It can be a little overwhelming. We're going to be talking about something I'm just called the Growth Project, because I want you to know that spiritual growth is just that, a lifelong project that every Christian needs to be involved in. So we're going to be asking questions like, well, how do we grow? What does that all look like? How are we going to be involved in growing up as Christians, as the people God wants us to be? You know what my goal is today? My goal is that every single one of you would walk away encouraged, some of the confusion gone, and where you can look at your spiritual life and say, oh, I can see some light here. I can see where God wants me to go. So let's start by looking at this question then of, well, what does spiritual growth actually look like? Now, in one way, it's very simple, isn't it? You can say, well, spiritual growth is just about just becoming like Jesus. I mean, that's real simple. We can all go home on that one, okay? Yeah, just go become like Jesus. But, you know, if you think about it, well, okay, picture what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? What attitudes would Jesus hold? Of course, that's clear. But what would it, I mean, how do we break it down? I mean, what would it actually be like? Well, let's say that I took one of you who volunteered this week, and you said, listen, I volunteer for the next 5 years. You can follow me around with a video camera and picture and just, you know, film me And then at the end of 5 years, you can splice together all the stuff that looked like spiritual growth. Okay, so some of you are going to volunteer. One of you is going to volunteer to do that. What would we actually see? If we could, it's on videotape. We see it. What would we actually see? And I think that of all the things I could talk about, we're going to see in that videotape three things. And the first thing that you're going to see is you're going to see a believer growing in Bible knowledge. That would be reading the Bible, becoming more and more aware of what the Bible said, becoming more alert to the concepts found in God's Word. That's why 2 Peter 2 says, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it may grow in respect to salvation. So what do babies need? They need milk. What do Christians need? We need the milk of the Word to grow. We need food. Now, some of you are going, well, what about the Bible is so vital that I have to be involved with it? I mean, can I be a Christian and, you know, I'm pretty busy. You know, I mean, do I have to read the Bible? Yes, you do, okay? And I'll tell you why. You find it in 2 Timothy. Look what it says, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God. That means God wrote it. That means it's God-breathed. That means it's from the Lord. He's the source. And is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, giving instruction for right living, so that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. So when we read God's Word, when we relate to God's Word, when we hold on a conversation with God's Word, when we talk to God about His Word, all of those things, what happens? First of all, God's Word provides spiritual truth. You want to know how Jesus atoned for your sins? Man, it's in there. You want to know God's plan for your life in the middle of a difficulty? It's in there. You want to know what's going to happen in eternity? It's right here. And the truth begins to shape the way I think. The truth begins to permeate my mind and heart. And pretty soon I'm thinking differently than I used to think. It has an impact on my mind. And God's Word also not only gives us spiritual truth, but look what else it gives us. It says it protects us from error. Do you think that in the world that you live in, there's ever any spiritual error out there that you encounter? Yeah. The person sitting next to you is saying, hey, sex outside of marriage is just fine. This other person is saying, hey, Jesus was just a man. This other person is saying, you know, all religious truth is equally valid. All of those statements are in the error, okay? And if you're growing in God's Word, you will be able to figure out that error. Also, look what it says. It points out our moral faults and gives us instruction for right living. So, guess what? You want to know what kind of attitude to take in the middle of some difficulty? It's right here. Do you want to know how to treat your spouse even when he or she is being a pill? Okay, it's right here in the Scripture. You want to know what a heart of repentance looks like? It's right here. And so what happens is we find here a way to protect ourselves and to move ahead from our own faults because God tells us how to live. You can sum it up by saying this. The Bible gives the content for our beliefs and the guidelines for our behavior. Content for our beliefs, guidelines for our behavior. So a believer's thinking begins to be shaped by the Word of God. He begins to see life differently, but also the Scriptures provide for him the everything he needs for the practice of his faith. Everything he needs or she needs to move forward and to do the things that God wants them to do. And since that's true, guess what? If you're going to be a growing believer, you will have a growing awareness of God's Word in your life. You will have a growing awareness of not only what it says, but what it means and what it means to you. You see, our hearts need that food. Now, I don't think, as I look out here, that I don't think that any of you are just eating once a week. Are any of you eating just once a week? I'm going to tell you, I eat multiple times a day. I do. And guess what? None of us can eat spiritually just once a week either. This service, as important as it is, man, is just got to be a way station for you. You take it on a little water, yeah, but man, there's a long way to go down that track. And so you need to be feeding yourselves during a week. So you're reading, you're studying, you're thinking. By the way, that's one of the reasons, again, I had left out on that table how to read through the Bible in a year and how to do a quiet time. Why? Because, man, if you're going to be a growing disciple, you're going to need to be growing in handling of God's Word. Okay, So what are you going to see on the video? Here you got your, you got the, you're filming this guy all the time. And what are you seeing him do? He's starting to pick up his Bible in the mornings and read it. He's starting to rethink some areas of his life based on what he's reading. The Spirit of God is somehow speaking to him about this word. But that's not all you would see. What else would you capture on the video? Here's what you'd capture. A believer who is growing would also be growing in Christian character. That is, you'd be becoming more loving, more kind, more at peace, more self-controlled. Maybe, for example, you'd see that person in the video, you'd see them extending forgiveness to someone. Where in the past, they wouldn't have done that. They would have sustained the anger that they had in their life. Or maybe you'd see a person in the video finding peace in the middle of a difficult situation. Or maybe you'd see them maybe loving someone who wasn't all that lovable. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Well, if you're growing in character, you're learning to do that. Now, here's the problem with building character. Here it is. Sometimes in the Christian faith, we are like five-year-olds. And what do five-year-olds do? Sometimes they will obey their mom and dad, but inside they're not obeying. Is that true? They will obey, but inside. Now, and you would say to that kid, yeah, I'm glad you're obeying, but you do not have a heart of obedience. And sometimes what happens to us, we want to, maybe we will, you know, conform our outward behavior to something that looks better, but inside our hearts are still not changed. And we're still doing our own thing. Listen, you know what the scriptures say? You know what it is? It says that God wants to change us from the inside out. That is, he wants somehow to change our hearts. And in fact, you know where you find that? One of the places you find it is in Galatians 5. Look what it says. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, look what it says in the next verse. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now, see that little phrase, follow the Spirit's leading? When we do that, when we follow the Spirit's leading in these areas, what happens? Our very characters are changed. That's okay, Lord. Our very characters are changed. And somehow, we're responding to the Spirit of God, we're obeying Him, and when that happens, you know, our hearts begin to change. Friends, you got to know something. This church service is not the most important part of your spiritual growth. It's an important part. You know what's the most important part? The Spirit of God at work actively in you. The Spirit of God transforming your life day in and day out. You are responding to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God then is working in your life. It's about hanging out with Jesus every day. It's about hearing His voice, and it's about responding to His voice. What happens over time when you do that? Man, you begin to change. Now, how then do we yield to the Spirit? You see that term in there? It says you got to yield to the Spirit. How do we yield to the Spirit? Well, there are two or three things that I could say that might help you. And some of these have come from Larry Osborne, Pastor Larry Osborne. One of the things that he observes, and I think he's right, is this. If you want to learn to yield to the Spirit, first, that means responding to the light or the truth that you have. You don't have to worry about all the stuff you don't know, but when the Spirit of God speaks to you in that voice where he says, no, don't go this way or go this way, respond to the light you have. Don't worry about all the stuff you don't know. It's respond to the voice that you do know, that you are hearing. And you move in His direction. For example, when the Spirit speaks to you and says, you know, listen, that attitude that you have is wrong. I want you to repent of that attitude. I want you to turn for me for help. And you respond to that light that you get, what's going to happen? God is going to empower you to make the change. And then He's going to work even further in your heart to transform it because you were obedient to Him. See, that's how spiritual growth works. Since the Spirit is in our lives, the Spirit can give us course corrections all day. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord can speak to us all day. And one of the ways when we talk about yielding the Spirit, it's just simply obey the light you have. Listen to the light you have. Do what God is telling you to do. We've got to listen and respond. But number two, you know what it also means? If you want to yield to the Spirit, it also probably means being open to help and insight from other wise believers. Now you think about it, what happens is, the Bible calls that wise counsel. Do you know what happens when we have a little error in our life which isn't so good? Maybe we've got an error in our life which is either it's addictive behavior or it's any number of things. Maybe it's just we're holding out on God some way. It's like being on a cell phone and experiencing static between you and God. Ever been on a cell phone where you couldn't hardly hear the guy, the other person on the other end? Well, that's kind of what it's like. It's like I'm trying to hear from the Holy Spirit a little bit, but there's a lot of static. Why? Because our hearts are kind of a little bit resistant, right? Well, what happens is when we get wise counsel, when we get godly people around us, they help clear up the static. And so, you know, you're thinking, well, wow, I might be a little prideful. I don't know. Then your friends say to you, you know, you got a lot of pride in your life. Oh, really? Yeah, you got a lot of pride in your life. Oh, really? Yeah, you got a lot of pride in your life. Yeah, you hear your wise friends talk, and suddenly the static clears up. And you realize, oh, that is what the Holy Spirit of God is telling me. It's important to know. And then finally, I think yielding to the Holy Spirit means being willing to let God change you on the inside. And we already talked about this a little bit, but sometimes we say the right thing, we do the right thing, but we don't really want our hearts changed. Maybe we say, okay, we're not going to express anger to that person, but I still want to keep the anger. Or we say, I don't want to, any number of things. You just kind of separate the behavior from the heart. Do you know what God says in Philippians? He says this, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So God's going to give you the power, but he also wants to change the very way, your very desire. And so you guys, can you just get real with God on this thing? When you're doing something that you think, oh man, this is not good. Yeah, pray for God's power to help you. That's good. But then do this. Just say, Lord, help me to want to do the right thing. Help me to want to be that way. See, that's an honest prayer, isn't it? And it's yielding to the Holy Spirit as best you can in that moment. Lord, you got to help me want to do this. So yielding to the Spirit is what we're talking about here. And it's all a part here of growing in Christian character. In letting the very character, your very heart be transformed into the heart of Jesus. So over time, what happens? You become more loving, more kind. The guy that used to yell at his wife, what is this? He's speaking kindly to his wife. I think he's growing up in Christ. He's not venting his anger, for example. You would see the character of Christ come online with him. And then thirdly, you'd say, okay, what does this actually look like? What does the videotape picking up? Thirdly, the videotape would be picking up that believer growing in Christian practices. That is, things like worship and prayer and service and giving and witnessing. In fact, look at 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Look what it says. For we remember before our God and Father how you put your faith into practice, how your love made you work so hard, how your hope in the Lord Jesus is firm. See, this whole passage, if you read it, is all about how they're putting their faith to work. You know, think about the teaching of Jesus for a moment. Think about everything that Jesus taught in the Gospels. You know, if you evaluate what he said to his disciples, so much of what he said was all about how to practice their faith. Think about it. All right, disciples, come together here. I want to teach you how to pray. What? He's teaching them how to practice their faith. All right, disciples, get together here. I've given you a lot of talents. I've given you money. I've given you treasure. Let me tell you how to be a steward of that, all the things I've given you. That's the practice of your faith. Guys, get together. I want to teach you how to serve people because that's a really big deal with me. That's all about practicing your faith. It's right there. And really, much of the Bible is about just that. So, for example, what happens in life is, you know, you start life and your Christian life, and you kind of get rid of the big stuff. You know, oh, man, I've been cussing and chewing. I better stop that. But remember, the Christian life is not about stopping stuff, just about that. It's about starting stuff, okay? And the practice of your faith then becomes very, very important. It's not just what you stop doing, it's what you start doing. So again, because the Spirit of Jesus is in your life, you have a relationship with him, you think, oh man, I want to start talking to Jesus. I know he wants to talk to me. I better learn how to pray. Or you start saying, oh man, God's given me, you know, he's made, he's given me all this stuff. How do I honor God with my stuff? I better learn how to give my stuff away. You know, the practice of my faith. You begin somehow to say, okay, man, I'm going to please him. And you work with that way. So what would this video camera capture? That person would be growing in their Bible knowledge. They'd be looking at God's word, they'd be responding to God's word over time. That person's character would be being changed. You'd see this person just saying, Lord, I don't want to love this person, but you want me to love him. Help me, Lord, to want to. And then, Lord, help me now to empower me to be loving to this person. And then their hearts would be transformed over time. And then you'd see Christian practice. Just this person, oh, man, they're coming to church, and they seem to be worshiping God. That's never happened before. They seem to be actually engaging with God. That's a good deal. And you see all the practices come online. Now, that's what spiritual growth might look like. But how in the world do I actually grow as a Christian? And I've said a few things already about that, but I think it's important to say, what's the process? Now, as we begin this question, let me say first that you need to remember that growth is a lifelong process. It doesn't happen. It's not a one-shot deal. And in fact, look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we're changed into his glorious image. Now, what do you see there? It happens. Does it happen all at once? No. It happens bit by bit, not all at once. It's a process. I can never say I'm done. Never. I can never say, well, that's all. You know, I'm just as mature as I want to be. I'm as grown up as I want to be. It's never that way. In fact, think about it this way. Think about your life like, remember that puzzle I mentioned at the beginning? Think about your life as a puzzle. Now, the beginning of the Christian life is like the beginning of a puzzle. What do puzzle people always do first when they're going to put together a puzzle? What do they do first? They do the borders. They do the outside. They do the edges. Why? It's the easiest thing to do. And so what happens in the Christian life? Oh, I got to get the borders down. Okay, I got to quit cussing, chewing, and going with those that do. All right? I've got to keep messing around. You know, a lot of the big stuff falls away, okay? And because those people are working in that way. And then, once the edges are done, what's the next thing you complete in a puzzle? Well, it's probably the biggest, most recognizable things in the puzzle. That's just what the Christian life. Okay, now that the edges are done and people are, I'm at least in the ballpark here. Oh, man, that's a big thing. That's obvious. I better be letting God help me work with that. And you just do that for a long time. And then finally, when you've been serving the Lord about 25 years or so, now you get to what I can only describe as the sky. And in the sky, there are like 18 different colors in the sky. You don't know how they relate. It's just like, oh, okay, I got to get this little puzzle. Where does it go? And you're just looking, looking, looking. Well, you know, God gets a lot more subtle with you after being serving him for a while, doesn't he? It's a lot more subtle. But it's still one piece at a time. It's a process. It happens over a lifetime. And you shouldn't ever think, as long as you're in process, come on, you're good. Just be in process. If you're doing the edges, nobody's at Lighthouse is going to come and say, you know, you should be on the sky right now. You know? No! We're going to say, oh, you're in process. Super! We're in process too. We're following Jesus in that way. Now, I say all that because I don't want you to think, again, like this is somehow, you know, I need to be at a certain place. God will help you to know where you need to be. Now, having said all of that, the how-to of spiritual growth is this. Now, this is going to sound too simple to you, but would you stick with me on this? Here's the how-to. Here it is. How-to. When the opportunity for growth occurs, capitalize on it. There it is. That's how you grow. Now, spiritual growth, let's face it, happens in a haphazard basis. It is not linear. You will never have a spiritual journey. You can never say, oh, you know, the spiritual journey from immaturity to maturity is like there's like 8,000 steps, and I'm on step 3,020, and I'm just now working on 3,021, okay? Spiritual growth is not like that. For most of us, spiritual growth is just this, it's like a meandering path punctuated by occasional stretches of unexpected twists and turns. We never know where it's going to go. You can't say that it's linear in any way. You can't say, you know, path, believe me, if there was a linear path, I would be all over it. Okay, because I'm a pastor. I would love to be able to tell you, listen, there are 420 steps to spiritual growth. Now, let's work on your step, whatever that is. Wouldn't that be fabulous? I would love it. And then we would know, hey, you're 420, you're all done, man. That's super. You know, I would love it. But it's not that way. So what I'm saying is, when the opportunity for spiritual growth occurs, capitalize on it. That is, be intentional about it. So then how are you intentional? Let me give you three ways to be intentional. Now, this really, I want you to pay attention. These are the kind of the guts of how to grow. And the first one is just simply this. First, you become aware of your current need. That's just it. You just become aware. What is my current need? Most of us right now, this moment, could identify the current spiritual need in our life. But you know what? Most of the time, there are two circumstances in our life that help us know what the area is. These two circumstances, I almost said circumcised, didn't I? You know, that's kind of a pastoral word to say. I don't know where it came from, though. But these two circumstances, actually, are going to let you know, you know, what your need is, okay? And the first circumstance is just simply this. He uses a need to grow situation. That is, life happens, it reveals something in your heart, in your life, and you realize, oh man, I have to grow in this area. Most of you know that over 20 years ago, my son David died. He was 6 years old. And then just a little while later, my wife Naomi was healed from cancer. So, my son is dead, my wife is healed. I was in a need to grow situation. I had to find out more about God's sovereignty. I had to find out about, well, God, if you're really in control, what does all this mean? I had to find out, is there a sovereign God, and can I trust him? And so my prayer life ratcheted up a bit, and I began to examine the scriptures more, and I came to a place of greater trust in God. I was in a need to grow situation. And that need to grow situation pushed me, then if I was going to take advantage of it, I was going to become closer to the Lord. You know what? If I wasn't going to take advantage of it, I would probably drop further away from God. I was in a need to grow situation. Now, maybe you are in a need to grow situation right now. Maybe somebody has hurt you, and you've got to learn how to forgive them. And maybe you don't think they deserve forgiveness. Well, you're in a need to grow situation, man. Either you cooperate with the Lord in this thing, or it's not going to be good for you. Maybe that will send you back to God's word. It'll send you back to God's spirit for the help that you need. You know, most of you have heard this story, but about 10, 12 years ago, I was rude to a clerk at a car rental agency. And I won't tell you the whole story, but I was just rude to this person. And I'm not a guy who's like overtly rude where I will yell at people. But those of you who know me know that what I usually do is I do something like I sigh heavily, like... That's an example. And so I'm sighing heavily, or I'm just kind of looking antsy, or whatever it would be. And I had to go in and apologize to this lady after I left her and saying, oh, you know, please forgive me. I know that you knew that I was not pleased at your glacial. I mean, no, I didn't say that. I apologize well, okay. And so I had to go back in and do that. But then what happened? A few months later, I actually was impatient with somebody that I knew much better, and I saw that it hurt this person, and all of a sudden the Spirit said, you're in a need to grow situation. You are in a need to grow situation. And you, if you want my character in your life, you better do something about this. And that's exactly what I did. I started praying about it. I started looking at the scriptures about it. I started kind of letting people know in my life, you know, I'm trying to work on this and that kind of thing. So, I was trying to capitalize on the area that God had me in. So when you become aware of your current need, often it'll be, it's clear. I got a need to grow. But there's also a second circumstance, and that's just, I would call it a need to know situation, where, for example, Your sister just got married, and your new brother-in-law does not know Jesus. But you don't know how to witness. Now, it's true that Pastor Art had that series on called Just Walk Across the Room last December, all about witnessing to your family and friends, but I wasn't listening because I had no intention of being a witness, okay? That's scary, okay? So I just let that go up, okay? But now I have a need to know. My brother-in-law needs Jesus. I got to find a way to get the, you know, I got to find a way to do this. And see, that's often what happens in spiritual growth. We get a need to know. You know, the need, we see an opportunity. Maybe, for example, you have a moral dilemma at work. You're a salesman, and the rest of the sales force is telling you that it is okay to shade the truth just a little bit on that one element because it will help your sales presentation. And by the way, the big thing is to get them buying because it's so good for them. So if you get a little shading of truth, it's going to be okay. And you're saying to yourself, oh man, this does not feel right, but I don't want to wreck the company. I don't want to, my colleagues, or I don't want to put them on the spot. So what do? You're in a need to know situation. So you have to go back to God's word and say, well, what is God's word? You're talking to your friends. Oh man, I'm in this dilemma. What do you think, guys? What, help me. And now God can grow you morally, ethically, because you're in a need to grow, need to know situation. And that happens all the time. Much of the spiritual growth happens when I become aware of my need first, and it's usually because of a need to know, need to grow. Now, some of you are going, well, man, I don't have a need to know or need to grow situation. Then I just encourage you, I kind of encourage you to look in the mirror then. Because here's what we find out. When you do a little looking in the mirror and you say, okay, God, it seems to me that I'm doing well in everything, but would you show me something, you know? Would you show me? Often God will reveal to you something going on. Often God will say, now, come on, this is where I want you to go now. Do this. Now, so become aware of your current need. Secondly, if you want, you know, how do you grow? The second thing that you need to do, I think, is connect with the people and the biblical resources that can help you grow. In fact, at Lighthouse, you know, the pastors, we say, if we can Velcro you to God's people and to God's word, we think you'll have the resources that you need to grow. All we got to do is Velcro you to those people. Now, first, you got to be involved with people who are on the journey with you to help you grow. Now, as you know, life's major trials, do life's major trials always happen on a nice schedule so that you can prepare for them? No. You know, life's trials are like uninvited guests. The doorbell rings, you're going, oh man, the house is a mess, okay? It's never happens when it's a good time for you. And so you can't wait to have relationships until, you know, the crisis comes. You'll never know when it comes. You'll never know what the dilemma will be. You'll never know what growth area you're going to have. You've got to have your friends now. You've got to connect with God's people. And here's the deal. God's people who isolate themselves from other people will find that they will not grow in the way that God wants them to grow. Often, you know something? We have had people, now the church is quite a large church now. And one of the difficulties with that is if you want to be anonymous, you can. We've had at least one couple in this church who had marital trouble and divorced. Nobody knew about it until after it all happened. Would you say that couple was isolated? Would you say there's a little isolation going on there? Yeah, no doubt about it. Listen, we have to be connected to God's people and transparent relationships. And if we're not connected to those transparent relationships, we are not going to be able to grow in the way that God wants because we're giving no one access to our lives. And no one there to help us. No one there to, you know, hanging out with other Christians, man, it's crucial. And I want to be just really bold here because you know that surveys show that most people only have one or max two friends? And if you're married, you would identify your spouse as your only friend. Many, this happens all over the country. Many times people, if they're married, would say, that's my only friend. Now, I'm glad that he or she is your friend. That's good, okay? But you need other people in your life because Christianity is a team sport. And sometimes, guys, sometimes we need a bear hug, right? Do we not? That's what we need. And sometimes we need a swift kick in the rear. Do we not need that? And I'm just going to say this. It's really hard to self-administer a bear hug or a butt kick. Okay? You know, it's not working. Okay? And it doesn't work. Sometimes we need God's people to do exactly that. The people we're connected to will do that for us. And sometimes we remain isolated because we don't want that. We don't want someone to tell us, you know what, what you said to that person just now, that was very angry, and God needs to do something in your life. We don't want somebody to tell us that. And so we isolate ourselves. So connection is important. Hebrews 10 sums it up. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You know what? I love that verse. I want that verse to be just moving throughout Lighthouse all the time. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. And if we're doing that while we're helping each other, look what it says how you do it. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another. So when you meet with others, you're spurred on. When you're connected, you find encouragement. Be intentional about it. And in fact, as a part of the growth project, one of the things we're going to ask you to do is talk to somebody about your goal. Maybe it'll be your friend. Maybe it'll be your accountability group. Maybe it will be your home group. But talk to somebody. Put yourself on record. Here's where I'm going, guys. Here's what I think God is telling me. Would you just help me here to do this? And they'll be able, what? To spur you on. And that's what you'd want. Now, I said that if we can Velcro you to God's people, that's one thing. We also got to Velcro you to God's word. And so whenever you're in this need, whenever you some need has been revealed through a need-to-know, need-to-grow situation, hang on to God's people, but also look for the biblical resources in your life that will help you. Maybe it'll be a Bible study. Maybe it'll be a seminar offered here at the church. Maybe it'll be a growth group of some kind, a support group of some kind, something that would really help you see God's word in a new way. Or, for example, I mentioned I need to know witness of the brother-in-law. Well, you know, right now we're offering a class called How to Be a Contagious Christian, How to Share Your Faith with Just Your Family and Friends. That's what I need. That's a biblical resource. They're going to help me, you know. So you can look around at the church here, but also you can also just, it may boil down to your own study of God's word. You know, in the goal that I picked this year, one of my plans is to just do a brief word study of the area that I want to grow in. And that'll be part of the biblical resources. Now, of course, when you hear the Spirit speak, you got to do something about it. But you won't even be able to do something about it if you're not putting yourself in a position to hear the Spirit speak through people and through the word. So I encourage you, here it is. Come on, get connected with God's people. Get connected with God's word. Now, the third thing is this. If you want to capitalize on your growth opportunity, here's what you do. Plan your next steps. Just plan your next steps. You know, in the Growth Project Handbook, we'll hand out to you, one of the things it does is ask you to form a little plan. And this plan is so interesting. You know, it's real simple. It's on page, you don't have to turn there. Most of you don't have this booklet, but here it is. Here's a little thing on how to make a plan. It's just for one goal. So what we're asking you to do is take up one piece of the puzzle and say, okay, this is it. I'm going to make a plan to get that piece firmly planted on the puzzle. And so let me tell you, if this was back 12 years ago when I was working on patients, here's what it would be. Okay, first step, establish a goal. How does my need-to-know, need-to-grow situation inform what I need? Well, my need-to-grow situation is, as I'm hurting people all over the place with my impatience, and that's a problem. Okay, fine. Next step, reality check. What is the gap between where I am now and where I'd like to be? Well, what I'd like to be is not be saying stuff to people about this, and I'd like to be more like Jesus, and I'd like to have a heart of patience. That's where I want to go. Okay, next thing, options, brainstorm options. What will help me know, do, be this? Who are the people and biblical resources I need to address this? Well, man, I could do a study on patients. I could, in the scriptures, I could talk to my friends about my patients. And then you just keep brainstorming. And then you go to the next one. Will, what actions will I commit to that will move me toward this goal? I'm doing all of those things. I brainstorm all of them. I'm doing all of them. Okay, fine. Time frame, when will this action be finished? It'll never be finished, but I'm going to work on it this year, okay? And then, how have I grown? Be sure to revisit this page in the future and ask, what is the evidence of change? Well, it just helps you to say, hey, come on, move ahead with one thing. Pick up one piece of the puzzle. Don't be concerned with 1,000 pieces sitting there. Why? Because you got to capitalize on what God is telling you. You've got to say, what is my current need? Okay, Lord, and maybe your current need will be anger. Man, I'm kind of an angry person. And sometimes we get, you realize that sometimes we get used to our own stuff. Is that true? We get used to our own stuff and we say, well, that's just the way I am. You know, if you're going to live with me, man, that's what's going to be. I'm just kind of an angry person. And I've heard people tell me that. Or that's just the way I am. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. You got to take me like I am. Well, of course we're going to take you like you are. But we don't want you to stay there, okay? You know, and so come on. You know, you find, oh, yeah, here's my need to know. And I know, here's my need to grow. I know I have a need to grow because I'm hurting people everywhere, left and right. And, okay, so, man, I got to connect with people. I got to connect with biblical resources. Oh, and somehow, then I've got to make a plan. What is that plan? Oh, yeah, that thing, okay. So you see, what we're trying to say is this. All of us are in process. Don't think about 1,000 pieces. Think about the one piece that God is speaking to you about. And as you do that, man, as you do that, you're going to find that maybe you're going to be some help in this coming year. And it could be so on, I mean, you'll know because you'll either be gaining greater biblical knowledge and a heart that goes along with it. You'll be gaining some Christian character. Or you will be finding more and more Christian practices. Probably, man, I'm just learning to pray. I'm learning to read the Bible every morning, whatever it would be. You know something? As we end today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to know that in preparation for this weekend, I've been thinking, okay, Lord, what's my need to grow situation? And I've been working on, okay, Lord, what is it? And I just think the Holy Spirit has directed me to an area. And I think for many of you, maybe all of you, God would say, come on, look in the mirror a little bit. Look in the mirror. Look at your life situations. What's your need to know? What's your need to grow? It might be as simple as I need to be kinder to my spouse. It might be, I want to direct that. That's something in my life. I'm not very kind. And then God would help you get with the right people and find what you need to do. Listen, come on. You can do it with God's help. But it starts with looking now in the mirror a little bit. And I'm going to take just a moment for you to do that. Would you bow and pray with me? I'm going to pray, Lord, would you help every one of us to look in the mirror right now? Would you help us to know if there's a need to know or need to grow situation that points out a need? And Father, I pray for your kids that you'd speak to them right now about what that area would be to grow in this year.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.